하라야남 나마스크트야 야랑실나라 투망데임 세수진야삼 타타자야마디레 나시타베 시바르시 니티암 마르타세야 바가바트 타마쇼케 박티르 바가티나시티키. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verses 1 through 12. Shiraja vacha samapriya savitraman bhutanam bhagavan swayam indrasyate katam daityan avadita vishamayata. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial, like a common man, for the sake of Indra, and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical toward others?" So last year we heard the 5th and 6th cantos, and we examined bhakti, both favorable and unfavorable. And we heard of the causes, many causes of fall down. So I'll just review some of those causes of fall down. One of those causes was accidental. Who had an accidental fall down? Yes. Leela Madhuri. You. Oh, no, I'm talking about the 5th canto. We all had accidental fall downs, I'm sure. Even in the mind, I mean, if we didn't have it in the gross level. But in the 5th or 6th cantos, which, yes?
Bharat Maharaj.
Bharat Maharaj, okay, accidental. Who had a fall down due to inattention? Who was inattentive? Bharat Maharaj. Yes, I would say. Purposeful, who fell down on purpose? Raise your hand. Yes? Indra. Okay, he offended his guru. Who fell down because of lack of devotee association or bad association? Ajamila. Ajamila. Who fell down because of Vaishnava aparad, committing Vaishnava aparad? Chituketu and?
Daksha.
Yeah, Daksha. Daksha fell down. Okay, and another one, Dhruva Maharaja's stepmother. She committed Vaishnava aparad. Now, there was one who fell down due to Krishna's will. Priyavrat. Priyavrat. It wasn't exactly a fall down, but to some it was, because he was a sannyasi. And he entered Grihastha Ashram, so to some it was a fall down. So here we have our themes that I picked out from the 7th canto. Lord's mercy is equal to the demons and to the devotees. And today especially we will see how this is true. We will see in today's two classes how he is equal to demons and devotees. And of course, actually the whole first 10 chapters of the 7th canto will be basically on this theme. Bhakti, we'll hear about Smaranam. Prahlad Maharaj will depend on Lord Nrisimhadev, always engaged in Smaranam. And we'll see how the Lord reciprocates with Poshanam, protection, showing these glories of Poshanam. And after Nrisimha Leela, we will hear about Varnasham, of all things. Now why, after Nrisimhadev Leela, Poshanam, all this wonderful Leela of Nrisimhadev, why do we hear about Varnasham Dharma? Anybody have an idea? You know, you read the commentaries, yes? What does Jiva Goswami say? Oh, what does Vishwanath Chakravarti say? Yes, translate it for us. I have Jiva Goswami. Yeah.
Should I read the whole thing?
No, just give us a one sentence summary.
Kevala Bhakti.
Kevala Bhakti. Okay.
Dana
Umuli.
Pradhani Bhutta Bhakti and Guni Bhutta Bhakti.
Guni Bhutta Bhakti.
One is mixed bhakti.
Mixed and?
The other is not even bhakti.
Not even bhakti.
It's some bhakti.
Okay.
So, this is the basis of bhakti.
Okay, how to obtain a devotee guru and what is the basis of bhakti according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now, Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, he says that Narada will discuss Varnashram to show how direct devotional service is better and how Varnashram is useless without bhakti. So this is Jiva Goswami's comment. And we'll get more into that when we go to the Varnashram chapters, what Jiva Goswami says. So, now, first, before we discuss this verse, I'd like to go into the connection between Canto 6 and Canto 7. At the end of Canto 6, Mother Diti is the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So she was very upset because of Indra causing Vishnu to kill her son. So this is what she said. This is 6:18:23. Hataputra diti shakra parshnika hina vishnu manina shakadiptena chalanti payachintaya. Shukadeva Goswami said, just to help Indra, Lord Vishnu killed the two brothers, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Because of their being killed, their mother Diti, overwhelmed with lamentation and anger, contemplated as follows. So this is what Diti said. Now mothers, when they lose their sons, they get really upset. Mother and son relationship is very, very tight. So this is what Diti said. Lord Indra, who is very fond of sense gratification, has killed the two brothers, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, by means of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Indra is cruel, hard-hearted, and sinful. When will I, having killed him, rest with a pacified mind? So she's ready to kill Indra. So this, the end, of course, she didn't kill Indra, but she had sons who were friends of Indra. But actually, that was her feeling. So now King Parikshit is picking up this feeling of Diti, and Srila Prabhupada also mentions this in the purport. He quotes this verse from the sixth canto. But before that, he quotes Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Samoham sarabhuteshu namedesha astinapriya. I am equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. So Krishna says that. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Hataputra diti, again that verse. So the Lord is clearly partial to Indra, although he's supersoul in everyone's heart. The soul is extremely dear to everyone, and similarly, supersoul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty action on the part of supersoul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation. Yet, he took the side of Indra, just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. So later on, when we study Prahlad Maharaj and his qualifications, his qualities, his teachers, they will try to teach him about friend and enemy. And he says, I don't understand this friend and enemy. What is this? I heard people tell me about this before, but now I'm hearing it directly. So if Prahlad Maharaj is condemning this concept, then how can the supersoul see friend and enemy? If even the devotee doesn't see like this, how can the Lord see friend and enemy? So Maharaj Parikshit is bewildered, perhaps for our sake. He's asking this question. So the first these first verses, actually this first chapter is an answer to this question. And actually the whole first 10 chapters will be an answer to this question. Especially today, we will hear in the first class, we'll hear the arguments of Shukadeva Goswami, why the Lord is not partial, or why he is partial. And in the second class today, we will hear the arguments of Narada Muni. And also tomorrow, continuing tomorrow, we'll hear these reply of Narada Muni, why the Lord is not partial, or perhaps he is partial. So we'll find out. So Jiva Goswami has a comment on this first verse. He takes apart the Sanskrit, sama. The word sama means because he is a supersoul, he is equal to all. Then the word surit means well-wisher. Bhagavan Priya means affectionate, supreme personality of Godhead. The question in this verse is, if he's equal, if he's affectionate, if he's helpful to all living beings, why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead show partiality by killing the demons? And so that is the question. Verse 2. Pariksit continues. Lord Vishnu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the asuras? And how could he be envious of them? So in this verse, there's reasons why someone should take one side. Someone should side with someone because he will get some benefit. There's two sides in an argument. There's two parties. So he's saying, well, what is his benefit from siding with a demigod? So in this world, we see someone, they side with some one side or another because they'll get some benefit. Then the second question, what interest would he fulfill? Well, perhaps he would fulfill his interest by siding with the demigods. And the third, why should he fear the asuras? So maybe, is he taking shelter of the demigods because he's afraid? So then the last, how could he be envious? So sometimes you take a side because you're envious of someone. So these are the different points that Pariksit Maharaj is bringing up in his question. So Prabhupada explains in the purport why we see, sometimes people say God is partial. And this is what Burijan Prabhu was saying yesterday. This is the question that the religionists cannot answer, that why is there good and evil? Why do some people suffer so much and other people, they don't suffer? So Prabhupada says in the purport, you should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities. But these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. So it's not that he's partial, it's just that we are seeing that way. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be free from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. So it's anyone dealing with the Lord is benefited. We'll see that in this Leela. One gets purified by the Lord's association, so the Lord must be pure. So verse 3. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayan is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayana is always neutral and equal to everyone. So Pariksit is trying to tell the answer to the question. He's telling, please tell me that he's neutral. Please tell me that he's equal to everyone. This is the answer he wants to hear. So he's kind of saying, dispel my doubt that Narayana is always neutral and equal to everyone. So if a judge always sides with one group, then they will say he's partial. A judge should judge equally. So how is it possible that Krishna takes the side of the demigods? So this is his question. So chapters 2 to 10 will tell of the Leela of Lord Nrisimhadev, and we have to understand the Lord's position so we can hear his pastime correctly. So this chapter will establish the Lord's position. How he has no enemies, he has no friends, but he sees everyone equally. Now Sridhar Swami composed a verse glorifying the Leela we are about to hear. And that verse goes as follows. Svabhakta pakshapakte na tad vipaksha vidavanam nishinghamadbhutam vande paramananda vigraham. I bow down before Lord Nrisimhadev, whose wonderful form is filled with transcendental bliss, who is the partisan of his devotees, who rips apart anyone who becomes his devotee's attacker. So verses 4 and 5, Shukadev responds. The great sage Shukadev Goswami said, my dear king, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord in which the glories of his devotees are also found are extremely pleasing to devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. So if anybody here wants to counteract the miseries, this is the way to do it. Hear Nrisinga Lila. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hari. So, comment by Jiva Goswami. Here it is mentioned, hearing the pastimes of Nrisingadeva are supreme piety, and by hearing them one can go to Krishna. So this implies that the purpose of the pastimes is to give pleasure to the devotees. No other purpose is there. Here it says, the great personalities like Narada Muni are singing these pastimes. And actually, in the third canto, it was saying the only reason the Lord comes is to perform pastimes so the devotees will have something to talk about. So they can always talk about what Krishna is doing. The Lord only works for benefit of his devotees and not for himself. And only for that purpose the Lord appears. In fact, this morning's Bhagavatam class, Madhavananda was speaking. And he was saying that without the Vaishnavas, there's not even any material universe. He was quoting from Padma Purana, Sangsaro. You have that, Madhavendra Puri? Yeah. Sangsaro Vaishnavani, was it? Yeah, Sangsaro Vaishnavani. I don't either, I just heard it this morning. And he was saying without the Vaishnavas, there is no material universe. There is no samsara. So the whole purpose, actually later on we'll hear about this, the whole purpose of creation is actually to help the devotees go back to Godhead, to nourish the devotees. This is the actual purpose of creation and the purpose of the Lord's coming into this material world. So purport, Prabhupada says, in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami offers his respectful obeisances, Krishnayamunaye, which means to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. One must first offer one's respectful obeisances to one's spiritual master. Shukadeva Goswami, spiritual master, is his father, Vyasadeva. Therefore, he first offers his respectful obeisances to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas and then begins describing topics of Krishna, Lord Hari. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, we must take it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should always engage in Krishna Katha by chanting and talking about Krishna and hearing about him. That is the only occupation of a Krishna conscious person. So if you think you're Krishna conscious, then this is your only occupation. Or if you want to be Krishna conscious. So here it is said that by hearing and chanting the pastimes of the Lord, then this is very auspicious, you get piety, you remove the miseries. So my question to you is, who have studied the first six cantos, what other verses can we say on this topic from Bhagavatam? First six cantos. Shrinvatam Sukhata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana, that's in first canto. Second chapter, 17th verse. Yari, Shotavya Kirtitavyascha, then Smartavyas Chetatabhyam. Okay, fourth canto, I'll give you one from four. Yatredande Katamishtas Trishnaya Pishama Yata, Yavairam Ritabhute Shirinodrego Yatatashina. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Why don't the devotees who are hearing Krishna Katha suffer from fear, or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam specifically? We heard something in the first canto about that. 118. Shonakarishi. What does he say? Oh, yes. Is it 60? Aho. No, that's Canto 3. Anyway, I remember it was Shonaka, I believe, that said, Yamaraj is amongst us, so we don't have to fear at the moment. So wherever there is discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraj is very interested to come and hear. So no fear while we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. No fear. That's one reason. There's also another verse, I can't remember, 178 or 177, 177, which I can't remember right now. Oh, yasyam vaishri manayam. Yes. Okay. Krishna, whatever. You get free from shoka, moha, and baya. And bhakti spouts up at once in the heart to extinguish shoka, moha, and baya. Lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. If you just hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially this Nisringa Leela. Nisringa. Not 18. 177. And not only that, place becomes Vaikuntha if you're hearing the topics of Krishna. There's that verse, Naham tishtami Vaikunthe yoginam hideye shiva tatta tishtami narada yataka yanti manta. My dear Narada, I do not reside in my abode Vaikuntha, nor do I reside in the hearts of the yogis. I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name and discuss my form, pastimes, and qualities. So when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaikuntha is evoked. So we're going to evoke Vaikuntha now. Aditi, can you just flip that chart? Verse 6, these are the qualities of the Lord. These are some of the qualities that prove that He is impartial, that He cannot be tinged by the qualities of envy, seeing someone as His enemy. Lord's qualities. Those of you who have the copies, we gave out copies yesterday of all the chapters, flip charts of all the chapters. So if you didn't get a copy, then I think they're over there on that table. Not now, but after the class, you can go and get a copy of that. For those who don't have computers, and I think you're going to send one, send it to those, or they're just going to have copies like that. Send them. Okay, whoever has computers in Adipurush will send it to you on the internet. So, verse 6. Yirguna pyaja piyaja yakta bhagavan bhakite parasumaya gunama visha vadyapatakatam kata. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities. Therefore, He is called nirguna, or without qualities. Because He is unborn, He does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence through His spiritual potency, He appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. So you can look at these words here, nirguna, without material qualities, aja, unborn, avyakta, unmanifest, bhagavan, prakriti, para. Which of those qualities prove or help us to understand that the Lord is neutral, impartial? Which one of these qualities in this of the Lord in this verse can give us a good argument that the Lord, yes, Jamashtami?
Nirguna.
Nirguna, okay, why? Why is this a good argument for the Lord to be impartial?
Because that's a material quality.
It's a material quality, okay, well.
Partiality.
He's spiritual, partiality is material, and he's nirguna, he's not material, okay.
Also, para, transcendental.
Para, okay, prakite, para, same thing, transcendental. Prashanta? Okay, he doesn't have raja and tamagun, so therefore he can't be partial. Partiality is due to raja and tamagun. Yes, Satyavati.
Bhagavan. He's supreme to all living beings.
Okay, he's Bhagavan.
Above all beings.
Okay, he's above all the qualities. He's Bhagavan, so therefore he cannot be partial. He is impartial. Nirguna, he said, yeah. The purport, paragraph 2 in the middle, Prabhupada says, the fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone. But because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna. And when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. So if we think that Krishna has an enemy or Krishna has a friend like that, then we're mudha, according to what Prabhupada says here. If you think Krishna is partial, then you're a mudha. Prabhupada's favorite word. You become a muta if you impose material qualities on Krishna. So this is a definition of muta. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. So if we understand the truth, we also become nirguna, without material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. So all we have to do is understand Krishna's activities. And Prabhupada quotes, Chaktadeyam punarjanma naiti mamiti suarjana. Janma karma chamedivyam evam yo viti tatvata. Anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, when he gives up this body, he'll come to me. So that is what Srila Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada, we must understand, Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna. So Krishna says, if anyone understands, and what does Prabhupada say when he quotes this verse many, many times? He says, even if you don't understand, if you just try to understand, you can become liberated. So Prabhupada is always giving us special concessions along the path, especially in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna makes very heavy statements, and Prabhupada is always there to give us the mercy of Nityananda. So Krishna sometimes acts as though he's conditioned. So what is an example of Krishna acting as though he were an ordinary human being? So people might get a misunderstanding of Krishna. What did he do to make people say that? Yes. Okay, unmarried ladies. Yes, gopis. Almost. Was he didn't quite take birth as an ordinary child. Four hands, helmet, long hair, jewels. I don't know if you can say he took birth as an ordinary child. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yashoda was controlling him. So how can he be God? He saw Yashoda's stick and he was crying and he ran away. What's another time when he ran away? Yes.
One that human attacks.
Yes.
17 times,
Jarasandha. Jarasandha. Yes, he ran away from the battle. And, yes.
He passed urine.
He passed urine in the other people's houses. And he stole butter. He was a thief. One time I was in front of the temple, and all these Westerners, like middle-aged people, came to me, and they said, you know, you're Krishna. How can he be God? He stole butter. I said, well, how when you're a child, you know, how do you do these things? Were you naughty when you were a child? I said, yes. I said, well, where do you think you got it from? I said, because the original father, he's also naughty. And you get it from him. And so why can't he steal? He's also naughty. And that's, otherwise we would not be naughty also. We get all our qualities. He's Adi. He's the first. He has all the qualities. And then we have little reflections of his qualities. Any other examples of Krishna acting as an ordinary? Yashoda. Okay. He was told his father died. That was fighting with Shalva, was it? And then he had a false Vasudeva. And momentarily he was lamenting. But then he thought, no, it's not possible. Balaram's there. Balaram would protect him. Yes? Last one.
He got married. Two children.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not a good argument. If we can get married and have children, then why can't God? You know. Oh, wow. Okay.
Came with the garland.
Came with the garland, huh? Oh, that would be good for tomorrow's class. We'll talk about him tomorrow, this caterpillar. So remember this caterpillar. Tomorrow's class will be about, and guess who the caterpillar is? Us. We're all a caterpillar. Okay, we'll remember this caterpillar tomorrow, and he will be the subject of our class tomorrow morning. Very important example. So, Krishna, let's see, Jiva Goswami again gives a reason why Krishna comes and acts as an ordinary human being. He says, just like a teacher teaching a boy to write by moving the boy's pen. Similarly, the Lord in the material world is suitable to the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, but that doesn't mean he has become bound by the modes, and that's the difference. When Krishna comes, he's controlling the modes, although he appears in the modes, and when we come, we're being controlled by the modes. So, like the example, like Krishna drives Arjuna's chariot, but he's not of the driver class. He's not a Kshatriya, he's not a Vaishya, he's beyond. So, but unfortunately, we impose our ideas on him. Atmavan, Atmanam manyate jagat. A prisoner may see the king enter the prison, and he thinks, oh, look, the king's in prison too, just like me, hopefully. And so actually, we interpret reality through our mind, our mental conceptions. And if we do this to Krishna, then we're muta. And we think of Krishna, if we impose our material conceptions on Krishna, then we're all mudas. And all these first nine cantos, the purpose is to remove all these material conceptions by the time we get to hear about Krishna. And so this is very, very important. Krishna is unborn like the sun. The sun rises, it's not born and it's not dying. So we have to give up our false ego trying to be the enjoyer. Now verse 7, my dear King Parikshit, the material qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, all belong to the material world and do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. So why Krishna is impartial? Because we heard he's nirguna, he's beyond the modes, and it's actually the modes that are acting, and they don't touch the Lord. So these are acting, but they cannot act when the Lord is there. Krishna is beyond the modes, he controls the modes, he cannot be influenced by them. So Parikshit's question was, you know, somebody's killed, somebody is favored. Someone's protected, someone's killed. How is that? So now he's getting into a discussion more or less on the modes of nature and saying, yes, it's the modes. You see the modes at work when you see these things happening. It's not the Lord. He didn't do it. He's not partial. So verse 8. When the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. So, it's the modes, but actually the Lord in the heart is fostering the reactions of the modes, so seems like he's partial, he's doing it. He's fostering, he's given us the reactions of the modes of nature. Modes are at work, the Lord is giving reactions. So let's read a little bit what Prabhupada says about this. And Jiva Goswami will give us a very nice answer. And he will pick out one word. Okay, Aditi, you can flip the flip chart again. And that word is in the Sanskrit, tat kalanuguno. Tat kalanuguno is a very key word in Jiva Goswami's explanation of how everything is working, how the modes are working, and how time is working. And we'll discuss this a little bit in a few minutes. First, we'll read a bit of the purport, the last two paragraphs. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase in the various qualities, but he is impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but he does not take part in them. And so it seems, okay, well, he's supervising, but he's not really the cause of the reactions. We have to find out what is the ultimate cause. What is causing these reactions to come? And all the philosophies, all the six darshans are all about this. What is the cause of suffering? What is the cause of the reactions? And how to get free from this? So the last paragraph, the various modes of material nature do not work all at once. The interactions of these modes are exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there is an increment of rajagun, sometimes tamagun, sometimes sattvagun. Generally the demigods are surcharged with sattvagun, and therefore when the demons and demigods fight, the demigods are victorious because of the prominence of their sattva guna qualities. However, this is not the partiality of the Supreme Lord. So why sattva guna is victorious, this will be explained a few verses later. Why is sattva guna? Why not tama guna should be victorious? So this will be explained by Shukadev Goswami in a few verses. So Jiva Goswami in Paramatma Sundarbha, he says, the Lord enters these people and makes them prominent. So just like when we will hear in eighth canto, there's the demons, there's the demigods, they're churning the ocean of milk, and then there's Vasuki, who is in the mode of ignorance, and he's the rope which they are using to churn. So Vasuki is in ignorance, the demons are in passion, the demigods are in goodness. But during this pastime, there's a time when all of them get tired. The demigods get tired, the demons get tired, and Vasuki gets tired. So what happens then? The Lord enters all of them according to their modes. So he increases the mode of ignorance in Vasuki, he increases the mode of passion in the demons, and he increases the mode of goodness in the demigods. So they all get strength to continue the lila for his pleasure. So in this way, he enters different people. So Jiva Goswami says, although it appears when these people become prominent, the Lord is doing it. The demigods are helping the Lord, the demons want to fight. It appears the Lord is acting according to the situation, but it is not the case. The Lord himself first makes them strong to act in a particular way, then he acts accordingly. Therefore, time is called here anuguna, following his qualities. So time, the modes are working, but time follows. It's through time. Following, and time follows him. When these demonic people, yakshas and rakshasas, become powerful, they defeat the demigods. And the Lord acts as though he's not there, and he disappears and becomes defeated. He will not obstruct them at that time. Indra runs away, the demons take over heaven. We'll hear about this in this canto. Indra hides sometimes in a lotus flower. Why? Why doesn't the Lord come at that time and rescue the demigods? Why do they have to run away? Why do all these things have to happen before the Lord comes? Yeah.
Because the demigods themselves go into the mode of passion.
Because the demigods are in the mode of passion.
By offending their guru.
Yeah, they offended their guru. Okay. But now in the case of Hiranyakashipu, it's not like that. Prahlad is an innocent boy. He didn't. And demigods, what did they do? They didn't do anything. That is the case sometimes, but this time it's not the case. It's just happening. Well, why didn't the Lord just come immediately, and just get rid of Hiranyakashipu when he started? Yeah, Samashtami.
Perhaps he wanted to glorify Prahlad Maharaj.
Okay, that's there.
It's
there. Did you look it up? No, okay. Yes? Okay, the time for Safaguna hasn't come yet. Interesting answers. These are all actually partially true or true Dhamma. And then
realization about the material world.
Give realization to the demigods about the material world. Okay, Satyavati.
To increase the determination of Prahlad Maharaj.
Okay, to increase determination of Prahlad Maharaj.
He gave promise to Lord Brahma and demigods, Lord Krishna. So when Hiranyakashipu will endure to such extent that he didn't tolerate
anymore,
so he
would
come
to
himself in the form of...
Okay. So... Right. So Jiva Goswami says something different from all your answers. See what Jiva Goswami says. He says, why doesn't the Lord come? He gives some time for these people to become prominent and think of themselves as Lord and Master. So the key is time, kala anuguna, the key word. Everyone who comes into a body has some time. So that's why we think, well, why do these, demoniac people have so much money, in material world? We see demons are flourishing, the devotees have no money, it's like that. And we think, well, why? Here's the answer. Everyone who comes into a body has some time. He thinks everything is happening by his will. The Lord allows that feeling. That is why people have faith in their own thoughts and philosophy. This is the Lord's allowing their success. Convinced in their own theories by his mercy, even when their philosophy and theories no longer work. And who is the prime example of that? The scientists. We see that. The same thing occurs with the demons. The Lord himself allows this, acting as if he had no power. Thus, Prahlad was troubled so much before the Lord finally appeared. So it's a time. The key word is kala. Kala anuguna. Following time follows the Lord's qualities. And he allows people time and to go through their dramas. So now this verse reminded me of another verse in 2nd Canto, 7th chapter, verse 39. Here it says, like, when goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish. Passion, the demons, and ignorance, yaksha and rakshasa. So in 2.7.39, it says, at the beginning of creation, there are penance. This is Brahma speaking. Myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. So creation, you need all the Prajapatis and Brahma, who is the creator. Then during the maintenance of creation, there are the Lord Vishnu, demigods with controlling powers, and kings of different planets. So those who are maintaining. And at the end, there is irreligion, and then Lord Shiva and the atheists, full of anger. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord. So different modes at different time. Again, time, kala anuguna. And creation is the time for goodness. And I think, isn't that what you said, Adi Purush, according, or somebody said that, that it's a time for sattva-guna, and it's a time for... So this is actually part of the answer. There is actually, your answer was right, in a sense, that it's according to time. You had time in there. So the material world is created by the energy of the Lord, manifested in beginning of creation by penance of Brahma, then the nine Prajapatis, the sages. When the stage where creation... what was that? Creation. The light came? Okay. Creation. That was destruction. Time for destruction. That was a small one, so... Then, different demigods and kings in time for maintenance. And last, when creation is preparing to wind up, Lord Shiva with the atheists. So Jiva Goswami says, here someone may protest. If when they are manifest, the modes of nature bring the living beings under their control, then the living beings have no independence. So it's just the modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, they're controlling. Where's our independence? In this way, the Lord is unfair and unjust. For without any good reason, he makes the different modes enter different kinds of living beings. In this way, he's partial to some beings and enemy of others. Fearing that someone would speak this protest, Srimad Bhagavatam speaks the word tat kalanuguna, appropriate to the particular time. It's according to the time it enters. And then, Jiva Goswami further explains the word tat kala, two meanings for this word, tat kalanuguna, means time is dependent on the modes beginning with goodness. So that's the first meaning. In truth, the individual spirit soul retains this minute independence. The material potency maya responds to the soul's desires. So you can see the flip chart. The soul desires, then maya responds to the soul. First, the soul desires. It's not the Lord who's giving the reactions. The soul is desiring a certain situation. So what can the Lord do? The soul desires, maya responds. This is Jiva Goswami's commentary. And the material responds to the soul's desires. The individual soul desires in certain ways and performs material actions to fulfill his desires. So not only does he desire, he performs material actions. So maya responds. These materialistic actions set the modes of material nature, beginning with goodness, into motion, and the modes then set time into motion. So maya responds, activates the modes, and this activates time. So in this way, material time is dependent on the three modes. And the modes are dependent on the desires and activities of the living entity. So that's one interpretation of the word tat kalanuguna. Second interpretation, Jiva Goswami says it may mean a supreme personality of Godhead. So his representation, who mercifully makes time favorable to his devotees. So following tat kalanuguna, following the Lord's qualities, means also that the Lord makes time favorable to the devotees. And this we will hear again in a few verses. Now Burijan
Prabhu in this verse. He was lecturing on this verse, and he gave three different levels of explanations for this verse. It's a very complicated verse. So he says, number one, this verse explains three things. Number one, how material energy works on us and how we are different from Krishna. That's the first thing that this verse explains. Number two, on the universal level, Krishna empowers the modes. We cannot escape from them. That's the second meaning. And number three, Krishna's pastimes. Krishna plays with the modes to facilitate his pastimes. The demons are successful. Sometimes the demigods are successful. So this is Krishna's lila shakti. So this is going on in Krishna's pastimes. Hladini, Sandini, Samvit. Three energies. We have the three modes here in the spiritual world. There's Hladini, Sandini, and Samvit. Three potencies. So here we just get the reflection and it comes as misery. So then Jiva Goswami poses a question. Here someone may ask, why does the Lord not give equal powers to all living beings? So the answer is in verse 9. Why doesn't he give equal powers? The all-pervading personality of Godhead exists within the heart of every living being, and an expert thinker can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent. Just as one can understand the supply of fire in wood, the water in a water pot, or sky within a pot, one can understand whether a living entity is a demon or a demigod by understanding that living entity's devotional performances. A thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his actions. Okay, so here we got the word favored here in this verse. So seems like someone actually is favored by the Lord. It's coming to that, actually. Someone may be favored here by the Lord. We'll find out who in a few verses later. It seems the Lord is not partial, is not impartial. He's partial. But what caught me here in this verse is one sentence. So I'm going to ask you to explain that. It's the first sentence, the second half of it. An expert thinker can perceive how the Lord is present there to a large or small extent. So it says the Lord is super soul, and an expert thinker can perceive how he is present to a large or small extent. So if he's super soul, then doesn't that mean he's equal? How could he be perceived large or small extent? What does that mean? How he is perceived? An expert thinker can perceive how he is there to a large... Yes, Lapangalata.
Well, he's there to an equal extent, but he's covered by the modes of the person, so therefore he's seen to a larger or smaller...
Okay, he's seen... Okay, you say he's seen to a larger or smaller extent because he's covered by the different modes of the person. You agree with that, Madhavendra Puri? Yes?
Or seen how much he's... that individual soul is influenced by his internal potency versus by the modes.
Mm-hmm.
What is the first? By the Mahatma being under the...
Mahatmanas tu mam paita daivam prakriti mashita.
So what Krishna is versus...
Okay. Maya. You can see how much the person is being led by Krishna or by Maya according to how the person is influenced. So an expert thinker can see that way, how he is... you can perceive how the Lord is... He's more present in a person who is acting as his servant than in a person who is not acting as his servant. So that's also very nice. And these are very nice explanations. And Prabhupada agrees with this in most of the purport. This explanation will be upheld by Prabhupada, but at the end he will give a different explanation altogether. So we'll have to read the purport to find out what Prabhupada says about that. But Prabhupada does explain that point, and he does agree with all of you in the first point. Paragraph 1, after the quote, the first quote, Prabhupada says, "We have the practical experience of seeing that one person is able to do very wonderful things, whereas another cannot do those same things, and cannot even do things that require only a little common sense." So just like somebody who is not expert, like myself or some people I know with computers, will spend the whole day trying to figure out a very small thing. And my son will just come in and in 2 seconds or 1 minute, He'll say, oh, you just do this, this, and this. So somebody who is expert can just do it in a minute. But whereas somebody may take the whole day or even lifetimes if he doesn't know what's going on. So this is the same. This can be also in similarly a devotee, Prabhupada says. Therefore, how much a devotee has been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be tested by the activities the devotee has performed. So how he has been favored, here's one test. What activities has a devotee performed? One test, how he is favored. Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, to those who... Oh, Tesham sata yuktanam majatam vitu purvakam padami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanchite. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is very practical. Prabhupada says, a teacher instructs a student if the student is capable of taking more and more instructions. Otherwise, in spite of being instructed by the teacher, the student cannot make strides in his understanding. This has nothing to do with partiality. And Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam pit purvakam nadami buddhiyogam tam. This indicates Krishna is prepared to give bhakti yoga to everyone, but one must be capable of receiving it. That is the secret. Paragraph 2 in the middle. A Vaishnava should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by other Vaishnavas. Therefore, a Vaishnava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as nirmatsara. Vaishnavas are never envious of other Vaishnavas or anyone else, and therefore they are called nirmatsaranam satam. So then, in paragraph 3, we have, how can we understand who is a devotee and who is a demon? One of Prabhupada's sutras again. This is the end of paragraph 3. One cannot judge whether a person is a devata, asura, or rakshasa by seeing him, but a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. General description is given in Padma Purana. Vishnu bhakta smita daiva asura stavipayaya. Devotee of Lord Vishnu is a demigod, whereas an asura or yaksha is just the opposite. An asura is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Instead, for his sense gratification, he is a devotee of the demigods, bhutas, pretas, and so on. Thus one can judge who is a devata, who is a rakshasa, who is an asura, by how they conduct their activities, and also by who they worship. You can tell who is who. So then, in the last paragraph, Prabhupada explains in one word, there's one very important word to tell who is favored. One word determines, one word in our qualities or personality will determine if we are who is favored by Krishna. One word. Yes?
Receptiveness.
Receptiveness, okay. And there's another word we can say? What? Hmm? Satvagun. I think receptiveness is very close. Or it can be the word also. There's another word which Prabhupada mentions. Attitude, right, attitude. It's your attitude. And that's the key to being favored by the Lord. He's not partial. He's not partial. In last paragraph at the beginning, by external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor, or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality. It is his response to one's ability to understand him. So ability to understand, attitude, and receptivity. The key word is receptivity, as you say also, according to our receptivity. So here we have three examples. We have fire, water, and sky. So fire, why fire is goodness? Why is fire? Fire is compared to goodness. Water is compared to passion. Sky is compared to ignorance. Now, why would fire be compared to goodness? Prashanta?
Goodness is purifying.
But why fire? Why fire? Yeah, fire is purifying. Is that why? Yeah.
Fire is the mouth of Vishnu.
Mouth of Lord Vishnu. Okay, yajna. Yes. Fire purifies. Yes. Illuminates. Okay. Fire is light. Yes.
Destroys, like it. Fire destroys the woods, or the goodness destroys the material existence.
Okay. Destroys. Okay. Purifies. There's another. Also, as if you compare fire, fire is very useful. You can cook with it, and as Satyavati said, you can perform sacrifice with it. In Gita, also, the human being is compared to fire. In the third chapter, lust, the coverings of lust, it's less in the human being. Water is compared to passion. Water. I don't know the answer. I'm just asking you. I know something. But yes. It's always changing, I'm thinking. Water is always changing. You can't really catch it, yeah. You can't stop it. You can't control. Very difficult to control water. And sky, ignorance. It's ignorance. Okay, yes?
Ignores itself.
But why sky? Why? Oh, unseen. Okay, it's unseen. Yes, Satyavat? One word?
Empty.
Okay, empty space.
Knowledge.
Yes, formless. Formless, the sky is formless. So actually, when I thought of this, especially the point of receptivity, I was thinking that there is a very beautiful thing, and I can't remember who wrote, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in order to receive Krishna prema, we cannot receive it with our hands, but we must have a certain pot to receive Krishna prema. And you know, the pot is actually the heart. But our problem is that our pot is full of holes. And the holes in the pot are pride, envy, lust, all these things. So the kind of pot that we need is Trinadapi, Sunichena, Torariva, Sahishina. And then we can receive Krishna Prema. Anyway, that was just another thing I just thought of. But anyways, receptivity. In goodness, one is favored. Because the mercy is received according to receptivity. Okay, and this verse, I was saying that there's another interpretation. Well, I lost it, but somewhere it was there that it's also the person, when you look at another person and seeing Supersoul, seeing another person, it's also according to how you see. So you may impose Atmanam Manyate Jagat. That's another thing, that you may see that Supersoul is more here and less there because of your own contamination with the modes as well. But of course, this verse is about the expert thinker. So, one time, Prabhupada was asked, why are you more merciful to Tamal Krishna than me or others? So Prabhupada said, I'm not more merciful. Tamal is more receptive to the mercy. And so, there is a verse in First Canto, 8th chapter, verse 29. Yes, that's the verse. Naveda kaschid. Naveda. This is Queen Kunti. Naveda kaschid bhagavan shikishitam taveha manasya ninam vidamnam nayasya kaschid aitostikarichir teshashriyasmen vishamamatir ninam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. And so Prabhupada explains that Krishna's mercy is equal to everyone. Doesn't matter. Sun's rays are open to everyone. But the capacities of receptacles differ. He says, a suffering man, if he's pious, he prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. And that may apply to us. Sometimes, why should we be reluctant to receive the mercy of the Lord? Is there a problem with the mercy of the Lord? Hari Purush? It comes in?
Awkward
forms. Jamashtami?
Oftentimes it comes in the Lord helping us to sever our attachments.
Oh. Yes, it may sever our attachments. Very painful. Very painful process to sever our attachments. For those who have attachments, like wife, children, son, very painful. I mean, the attachment itself is painful. And when you sever it, it's even more painful. But when you have Krishna, then all the pain is gone. And so that's the solution. Only solution is to become attached to Krishna. And we'll hear more about that tomorrow. Somehow or other, become attached to Krishna. Now, Prabhupada says, that is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. What's the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee?
He gives no material desires.
I mean, yeah.
Takes the mercy as it is.
The pure devotee.
Yeah.
And the mixed devotee is reluctant to receive the mercy. Well, what if I lose my money? What if I lose my house? What if this? That I was preaching in Russia, and one lady came up to me after the class, you know, I'm afraid to become a devotee because I'll lose everything. I said, well, you know, you just chant Hare Krishna. I think it's harmless. You said, don't do anything else. Just chant. That won't help. That won't hurt you. It's pretty, you know, just a few names. Yes, harmless. Anyway, that's the difference. They're reluctant. Those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask the Lord for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Those who are 100% engaged in service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient, and it is not due to the partiality of the all-merciful Lord. So it's all according to our receptivity and according to our attitude. If we want the mercy, we'll get the mercy. And so that's what this is all about here. That's what this verse is about. Verse 10. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates different types of bodies, offering a particular body to each living entity according to his character and fruit of actions, the Lord revives all the qualities of material nature, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. Then, as a supersoul, he enters each body and influences the qualities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, using sattvagun for maintenance, rajagun for creation, and tamagun for annihilation. So we're going on in our discussion, what is the cause of the reactions? And now in this verse, it gets down to the bottom of it. You get a body to each living entity according to his character and fruit of actions. That's the cause. That's why we have these reactions. That's why we have the suffering. According to his character. Of course, without the Lord, we can't get a body, but we can't blame the Lord if we get this kind of body. It's our fault. We did it. We have this desire. So therefore, we have this reaction, this type of body. And the Lord is there. Without him, we can't do anything. Just like today's class in Bhagavatam was about the atom. It divides into two and becomes a double atom. And it divides into three and becomes a hexatom. And I knew who was giving class, Madhavananda. I said, how is he going to get, you know, Raghunuga into this verse? And I was just sitting there waiting, you know, for him to... What is he going to say, you know, about hexatom and double atom? And there was a one-line purport that, when, you know, the hexatom you can see in the sunlight when it goes up to the sun. I said, okay, let's see what he says. But he did it. Every verse, every syllable of Bhagavatam is about Krishna. So it was very wonderful. I mean, this reminded me here, something here reminded me about that verse of the Lord enters. Oh, yeah, what he said. He said that, yeah, that, you know, Brahma is creating, this is about Brahma's creation. He's creating the atoms, and he's taking the credit for it. But actually, who is making these atoms move and become from one to the other? It's the Lord entering the atom. You know, andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam, from Brahma Samhita. If the Lord doesn't enter, then the atoms aren't going to move. He can create as many atoms as he wants, just like someone can make an airplane, but if the pilot doesn't go in the airplane, then it won't move. So, and then he's saying how Krishna is in every atom, and it's all about bhakti. And the Lord, it's Brahma's bhakti to create the atoms, and the Lord's bhakti to move the atoms. You know, it's really great. How you can get Krishna in every verse. I said, oh, okay, let's see how Krishna's in this. And he did it, you know. Krishna's in every verse, of every syllable of Bhagavatam. Wonderful class. And so it was good. Krishna's in every atom, paramanu. And that was really, that was, it was a very nice class. So the Lord is entering. See, that's where I got it here. It says the Lord, he gives the body, but then the Lord enters the body. Even we get a body, we can't do anything with the body until the Lord enters. And that was the same with the whole creation. There were the demigods were there, the universal form was there, the elements were there, everything, the nose, the eyes. But until the Lord entered, it wouldn't move. They couldn't wake up. They couldn't make the universe move until the Lord entered. So here, same point, that until the Lord enters our body, he gives us a body according to our desire, but until the Lord enters, that body is not going to move. And he influences creation, maintenance, annihilation. We don't know. We cannot predict when we're going to die. We couldn't create our body in the womb. He's doing it. He did the creation, now he's maintaining it, and he's going to do the destruction of this body. We have no control over this. It's Krishna who is doing it. So this, the purpose of these verses. What is his part? He's not partial. He's not partial. So in the first canto, second chapter, verse 32, there is a verse about super soul pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. So he appears to be of many varieties, so he is the absolute, one without a second. Very important verse. And a very important purport. As from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk. So the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, especially treated in Vedic literatures like Upanishads, Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam is a bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of these transcendental messages. That is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, divine consciousness of man can be similarly kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. Therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only. Thus, divine existence is gradually realized. 1.2.32. Now, Jiva Goswami comments, although the super soul is situated in all beings, but he's not attached to them. But in the case of devotees, he's attached, and that's the difference. So super soul is equal everywhere, but he's attached to the devotees. And he gives an example, just like sometimes you're sitting someplace, but your mind is not there, so you're not really there. So the super soul, his mind is not with the non-devotees, his mind is with the devotees. As a verse in Canto 9, that I am the heart of the devotees, and they are my heart. So that we will have to learn that verse. He's only where his devotees, because that's where he's welcome. He's welcome to sit in their heart. So he reciprocates. So then he goes on, I won't do all this explanation. Sridhar Swami comments again on this verse. Why did the Supreme Personality of Godhead create the material world? The answer is given, and that he quotes Canto 11, 3.3. So the individual spirit souls who worship him may attain perfection. So the whole purpose of creation is for the devotees to attain perfection. And he quotes, the peaceful hearts of my devotees are the homes of the goddess of fortune, that homes that the goddess of fortune and I like best. I reside in those homes and I call them Vaikuntha. So the material world is for the devotees just to go to Goloka Vrindavan. And it's a prison for others. It's a prison for others. But the devotees, it's a path back to Godhead. Verse 11. O great King, Supreme Personality of Godhead, controller of material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality is never under the time factor, nor under the material energy. So it's time. Time is the cause. But actually time, as we saw, is being moved by the modes of material nature. Purport paragraph 2. Time is within his control, for he creates time to act in a certain way. He is not working under the control of time. Creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under his control. Since creation takes place when Rajagun is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for Rajagun. Similarly, he also creates the necessary times for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes the Lord is not under the limitations of time. So in the last paragraph of the purport, the Mayavadi philosophers say this material world is mithya, false, and one should therefore not bother about this mithya creation, Brahma Satyam Jagan mithya. But this is not correct. Here it is said, Satyakrit. Whatever is created by the Lord, Satyam Param, cannot be called mithya. The cause of creation is Satya, true. So how can the effect of the cause be mithya? The very word Satyakrit is used to establish everything created by the Lord is factual, never false. Creation may be temporary, but it is not false. So now don't look at your books and don't look at your computers. Which word disproves the Mayavadi philosophy? What is that? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Which word in the Sanskrit, which we just read? Satyakrit. Very good, you remembered. Just wanted to see if you were awake. Satyakrit. So this word in the Sanskrit defeats this philosophy, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Satyakrit. If the Lord is Satya, then this creation is Satya. Now, question number 2, review of 5th canto. Besides Krishna, here this verse says Krishna controls time. Who else controls time? We heard about it in the 5th canto, giving you a hint. Who? Anand, who? Sankarshan, okay. Somebody else? Somebody else controls time, yes.
The sun?
Yeah. Somebody else controls time. We'll find out all the people who control time now, yes. Who? Yamaraj, I don't know if he's in 5th canto. Yes. Yeah, okay, you're getting very close, but I need a name. It's a pure devotee, right. Who? Priyavrat? No. It's Dhruva Maharaj. I'll read you the verse. 5:23:2. Established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, the planet of Mahaj Dhruva, constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. Unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. In the purport, Prabhupada tells why. Prabhupada says, everyone is under the influence of the time factor, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves his devotee, Maharaj Dhruva, so much. He has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. Interesting. So Dhruva Maharaj is also controlling time in this universe. Everyone has to go around, has to circumambulate his planet. All luminaries. So Prabhupada says, everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make his devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of time factor under his control. Now, how the Lord loves his devotee. Even time, yes. That 5:23:2 was describing all the different planets, planetary systems. At the end of 5th canto. So, Krishna, he creates, Brija made a really nice comment that he creates this material world incidentally, but the real purpose is to please his devotees. Just like when a king comes to a place, the whole place is renovated and cleaned up and prepared with flowers and so many things. But the real business of the king is to meet his different people. So, when Krishna comes, everything is arranged very nicely, but his real purpose is to meet and exchange with his devotees. Prabhupada also, when he used to go to the temples, the night before we had to paint the temple, stay up whole night and paint the temple. That was the regulative principle. And clean everything nicely and make a new vyasasan and everything before Prabhupada came. So in one sense, it was Prabhupada who fixed the temples, but really it was incidental to his visiting. He was actually came to see his devotees. So Krishna, in the same way, has that relationship with the material world. Yes, it's there, and it's maintained by him and created, but actually he just comes to meet his devotees here. And so that's the purpose, yes.
So the point is this, in Bhaktivatsa, Krishna, once a person becomes a devotee, then the whole relationship changes.
Yes, once you become a devotee, the whole relationship changes.
So externally it would appear that there's extreme partiality
yes.
to the devotee, but it's just a question of the devotee's receptivity.
Yes, it's receptivity.
So even a demon becomes receptive.
Yes, we saw that happen in the different pastimes in sixth canto.
Vichasura,
he was a demon. He is receptive. So yes, even if a demon becomes receptive, we'll hear more about that actually today and tomorrow, how Krishna's quality of equilibrium between the devotees and the demons, even if it, we'll hear about that. I won't tell you now.
And ultimately Krishna's design in the whole function of the material world is to bring everyone to that point.
Yes, it's to bring them to become devotees. So,
conversely, Lord Varahade killed one of his sons.
Yes.
He became a demon.
Yes, exactly. He killed his own son, Krishna, because Krishna killed that, what's his name? Bhamashura. So, about the time factor, Krishna is not under the time factor. So, I heard something really nice in Mayapur about the time factor and how Krishna is not under control of it, but. It was Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, this Maharaj, who preaches in Mayapur, not Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, but His Holiness. He was having darshan of Radha Govinda, who was Prabhupada's childhood deities in Calcutta. And he saw the pujari dressing the deities. And then the pujari, after finishing dressing, he put a watch on the deity's arm. Very nice watch. So he was saying, we know Krishna's controlling time, but when we take care of him, we think he needs to know the time. So this is the devotee's bhav, and that he's thinking Krishna needs to know the time as well. Govinda. Calcutta was Radha Govinda. Calcutta. Oh, he does. Okay. Okay. Give the best to Krishna. Verse 12. O king, this time factor enhances the sattva gun. So here we go. Somebody's favorite here. It's the sattva gun. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods who are mostly situated in sattva gun. Then the demons who are influenced by tamogun are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious. Therefore, he is called Urush Rava. So, sattva gun is favored. Now you have it. There is some favoring here, and it's sattva-gun. But you can choose to be in sattva-gun, so that's your choice. You can be in sattva-gun. Purport, paragraph 1. Lord says, Samoham sarabhuteshu namedishastinapriya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be partial. He's always equal to everyone. Therefore, when the demigods are favored and the demons killed, this is not his partiality, but the influence of the time factor. It's not Krishna, it's just time. A good example in this regard is that an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of the heating and cooling is electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with causing heat or cold, nor with enjoyment or suffering that results. You can't blame the electrician. If now it's the middle of winter, if he turns the fan on, you can't say, well, why are you fixing the fan? Or why are you connecting the fan? I need the heater now. Can't blame him. Anyway. So, sura. Now, an important word here is surapriya. Surapriya. That means friend of the demigods. Jiva Goswami gives a very nice explanation of this surapriya, that actually it's not simply the demigods. What Jiva Goswami says is among the demigods, his priya, his dear devotees, are existing. So there's some devotees among the demigods. And that's who he's actually favoring. Amongst the demigods are devotees, and the Lord takes the side of those devotees to protect them and fulfill his promise. The demigods are in the mode of goodness, and devotees will be found amongst them. Devotees cannot be in passion and ignorance, and it is very rare devotees will be born in these lower modes. Jiva Goswami, of course, Jiva Goswami was 500 years ago. So we have a lot of devotees now being born in the modes of passion ignorance. But this is a fact, the demigods. Even if he has taken that birth. And so here's for us. He will like to follow those in the mode of goodness. Well, here's a clause that will accept those in lower birth. If his devotee is born in a demoniac family, he will side with the demigods. The example is Prahlad and Vibhishan. Vibhishan and Prahlad. Sometimes when the demigods offend a great personality, like Brihaspati, they also become covered by the lower modes, and the Lord at that time does not take their side. So there you have it. So conclusion, the Lord is not responsible for the reactions. It is time pushed by the modes, pushed by our desire and fruit of actions. And the Lord is not partial. But time favors the mode of goodness. So if you want to be favored by the Lord, you become his devotee, or you become in the mode of goodness at least, or you become a devotee amongst the demigods. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? The time, you don't understand how the time factor would what? Would?
Would be the thing that would define if the demons would be killed or not.
Oh, how time factor would be the thing that defines whether the demons would be killed or not. Yeah, so there was a very elaborate explanation that the word in the Sanskrit, tat kala anuguna, according to the particular time. So that explanation, actually Jiva Goswami was giving that explanation, that everything has a certain time. There's a time for creation, there's a time for maintenance, and there's a time for destruction. So according to that time, then somebody is killed and somebody is protected. Just like our body, there's a time for creation, there's a time for maintenance, there's a time for destruction. That's one understanding of that word, tat kala. Now another understanding is that it follows the Lord's qualities. Tat kala anuguna, following the Lord's qualities. So the Lord, he favors the devotees. So time will also follow that mood of the Lord to favor the devotees. Or here it says, right in the verse, he'll favor the mode of goodness. So in that sense also, time is favoring. Time is the thing which determines whether someone is killed, someone is protected. Yes, Yashoda. Both by rising and setting, the sun diminishes the life of everyone except those who are chanting my glories. Ayurharati Vaipunsang. Yeah. Okay, anyway. It was a long time ago, second canto. Yes, Adi. Okay, who else had their hand up? Siddhi? Are you finished, Yashoda? Okay. Okay, Siddhi, you had a question? Yes. You don't understand why it's for the devotees? Because everything else can be done automatically, like the killing of the demons. I mean, there's no need. Actually, you have to study third canto carefully to see why it's for the devotees. If you study third canto, then you will see that the Lord, there was one word which describes his desire to create. He had a desire to make this creation. And there was one word to describe that desire. Does anybody remember that one word? And the word was compassion. He saw the sleeping souls. Actually, everyone is his devotee, but now we're sleeping. But the other sleeping souls, they can be taken care of by the illusory energy. The Lord doesn't have to come. He doesn't have to personally do anything. But just for the sake of the devotees, he creates the creation of Lord Brahma is also the purpose of Lord Brahma's creation. He is the head of the sampradaya. So not only is his purpose to create living entities, but it's to enlighten them and give them knowledge. And so you have to see that you go back to the original creation. And of course his original desire is to enjoy himself. And without his devotees, there's no enjoyment. Because the devotees themselves, they are feeling such great separation from Krishna. And but if they still have this problem of this material body. So therefore, to give the devotees a chance to, if you're just merged in the destruction, you can't do anything. If you're just in the void without a material body, you have a subtle body called Karana body, but you can't go to Krishna. You're just stuck for millions and billions and trillions of years. So therefore, we don't want to just be stuck in that body. We have to have the creation, so then we get a chance to go back to him. And he sees actually everyone is his son. Everyone is his devotee. But some are serving him voluntarily, and some are forcibly serving him. And everyone's in the Uttama has that vision of Krishna, that everyone's a devotee except me. That everyone is serving Krishna. So he makes universal form. If you study first canto, universal form, yet there's a purpose. Every living entity has a purpose in that universal form. Purpose means service. Every living entity, every plant, every tree, every insect has a service to perform to the universal form. And so therefore he manifests the universal form. And he manifests the creation so that everyone gets a chance to go back to Godhead and serve him while they're here and then go back to Godhead. Okay, anybody else have a question? Yashoda. Yeah, well, this is a distinction which Prabhupada also explained in his lecture, that transcendental means liberation, simple liberation. But beyond liberation, there's bhakti. So even the impersonalists, they can be said to be transcendental. Or the yogis can be said to be transcendental. But of course, they have very difficult processes to become transcendental, to become liberated. So after liberation, then you're qualified for bhakti, pure devotional service, and you're qualified to be transferred to the spiritual world. There's also Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. The devotee, he is beyond the modes of nature, and he engages in devotional service. One who is undeviatingly engaged in devotional service, that's a qualification to be transferred. Prabhupada made it very easy. He said, you just try to understand Krishna, and you can become qualified to be transferred to the spiritual world. Just try. Just give this one life. Just endeavor in this life. You can become qualified. Any other questions? Okay, if there are no questions, we will have a break now for half an hour.